Pharmacy Nation, I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 310. In this episode, I'll discuss an article on cost-effective C. diff treatment, answer the drug information question, can phenobarbital be used as monotherapy in patients with severe alcohol withdrawal, and share a tip for responding to inpatient medical emergencies. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode310. The article for this episode is titled Cost-Effectiveness Analysis of Initial Treatment Strategies for Mild to Moderate C. diff Infection in Hospitalized Patients. The lead author is Diana Ford, and this was published in American Journal of Health System Pharmacy, June 2018. Recent C. diff infection guidelines recommend the first-line treatment for mild to moderate C. diff disease be vancomycin or fidaxomicin, and that metronidazole no longer be used as first-line monotherapy. The authors of this study evaluated the cost-effectiveness of these initial treatment strategies for mild to moderate C. diff infection in hospitalized patients. The authors designed decision analytic models to compare initial treatment with metronidazole, vancomycin, and fidaxomicin. The model that served as the primary one included one recurrence, and secondary models included up to three recurrences. The authors used variables from published literature and based costs on a healthcare system perspective. The primary outcome was the incremental cost-effective ratio, or ICER, between initial treatment strategies. In the primary model, the overall percentage of patients cured was about 94% for metronidazole, 95% for vancomycin, and 96% for fidaxomicin. The others calculated that the expected costs per case were about $1,500, $1,300, and $5,000, respectively. In both models, vancomycin was more effective and less costly than metronidazole, resulting in negative incremental cost-effective ratios. If vancomycin was selected from the new guideline recommendations, a hospital currently treating initial episodes of mild to moderate C. diff infection with metronidazole could expect to save anywhere from $240 to $380 per case treated by using vancomycin for initial therapy. The authors concluded a decision analytic model revealed vancomycin to be cost-effective compared with metronidazole for treatment of initial episodes of mild to moderate C. diff infection in adult patients. From the hospital perspective, initial treatment with vancomycin resulted in a higher probability of cure and a lower probability of colectomy, recurrence, persistent recurrence, and cost per case treated compared with metronidazole. Use of fidaxomicin was associated with an increased probability of cure compared with metronidazole and vancomycin, but at a substantially increased cost. This is a very timely study that supports the new IDSA recommendations for C. diff treatment. The use of fidaxomicin as initial therapy did increase the chance of cure, but costs were increased dramatically. Therefore, vancomycin is now the logical choice for initial treatment of mild to moderate C. diff. The recommended dose is 125 milligrams orally, 4 times daily, for 10 days. The drug information question for this episode is, can phenobarbital be used as monotherapy in patients with severe alcohol withdrawal? And my answer is yes. Phenobarbital is a very effective option for treating severe alcohol withdrawal. Phenobarb has beneficial effects on GABAergic and glutamatergic receptors, the two most important receptor targets in the management of alcohol withdrawal. In the context of starting with phenobarbital and using it as monotherapy, I believe the respiratory depression risk is low, comparable to benzodiazepines. The main issue I would be concerned about is that to safely use phenobarb monotherapy and not commingle it with benzos, when the chance of respiratory failure is much higher, there must be very good coordination starting in the emergency department and moving up to the medical floors and intensive care unit. If the ED starts with phenobarb and the floor starts with benzos, then they will likely be caught unprepared for the respiratory depression risk that follows. and my tip for responding to inpatient medical emergencies. When responding to an inpatient rapid response call for a patient who has an altered mental status, don't forget to check a fingerstick blood glucose value. This is a simple intervention that can be easily missed. Even if the patient is not on any hypoglycemic agents, this is still a worthwhile test, as a medication error, liver disease, critical illness, or insulinoma may all contribute to hypoglycemia in a non-diabetic inpatient. For more tips like these for responding to code blue and emergency calls, I have written the book A Pharmacist's Guide to Inpatient Medical Emergencies. This book is for hospital pharmacists and pharmacy residents who want to learn and refine the clinical skills necessary to be a valuable member of the hospital code blue and medical emergency team. Each chapter contains actionable, concise training on the role of a pharmacist during specific adult inpatient medical emergencies. You can find it on Amazon or by going to clinicalpharmacybooks.com. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.